Our Bible study tonight is out of John chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, Christ's example of ministry to open doors. There are times in our Christian lives and ministries where doors of opportunity to serve the Lord seem to be closed in several places. The temptation in such times is for a believer to conclude that his work is finished, that he should try to get involved in some other ministry or somewhere else. However, such a conclusion does not necessarily reflect the will of God. Jesus himself faced several strong closed doors to his ministry later in his earthly life, and how he responded to it is recorded in John 10, 40 to 42. So we view this passage for our insight, application, and edification. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. John 10, 40 to 42. And he went away again beyond the Jordan unto the place where John, that's John the Baptist, at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true. And many believed on him there. For some time, the Hebrew people in Galilee had rejected Christ's ministry, and after the effect of the effort of the leaders to stone him at the Feast of Dedication, Jesus realized that all doors to his ministry were now being closed in Judea. So the door was closed up in Galilee, the door was closed in Judea where he was at. So now what do you do? Well, the Feast of Dedication in John 10, 22-39 that we read about last week occurred in December of AD 32, and Jesus was set by the Father to die in the spring of AD 33, actually in April. So you've got a number of months here, end of December, January, February, March, and before you got 3 months here where Jesus has to stay somewhere. So he's got to be careful. So Christ had to leave Judea for a while to avoid inciting the religious leaders into killing him too quickly. That would violate the plan of God. So he left for the only place that he could go, to Perea. Perea is a half-heathen province east of the Jordan River, and Jesus had an open door to minister there, so he went there. Now, Perea is pretty much where Moab would be in the Old Testament. It's over there. A lot of Gentiles were there. There's some Jews. But there was a group of people there that were quite responsive to the Lord Jesus Christ and quite responsive to John. So Jesus went there. Now, the place where Jesus went in Perea was where John the Baptist had first baptized. He was baptized, you remember, in the Jordan River because there was plenty of water there. Next week, we're going to be having a baptism service down in Nepaug River. And we believe that he was baptizing by immersion, because in Judaism, if you wanted to become a member of Judaism, you had to be baptized in no less than 60 gallons of water, according to the Mishnah. And that's by immersion. You would immerse the person. And John was baptizing him in the Jordan because there was a lot of water. The idea was water. And when Jesus was finished being baptized, he came up out of the water. Philip, when he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, they went down into the water, and then they came up out of the water, and Philip was caught away. So the implication is that it's baptism by immersion. So that's what we practice at Nepaug Church. Well, anyway, it was a place of edifying memories for Jesus and his disciples. In this place, John the Baptist had originally seen all of Judea and Jerusalem come out to hear his preaching and to be baptized with the baptism of repentance. Remember back in Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, before Jesus had actually been revealed to the nation, John was baptizing there in the Jordan River, and the whole area, everybody from Jerusalem, Judea, came out. They were convinced that he was a prophet from the Lord. And it was there that Jesus himself was baptized by John, with God the Father voicing from heaven his approval of Jesus as his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove. This all happened in that area, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So it was a place of very fond memories, edifying. And it was there that John had publicly announced that Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, in John 1:29, remember that? And where John had testified that Jesus was the Son of God in John 1:33-34. Of course, those days, you refer to someone as the Son of God. The word son is huios, which means you've had your bar mitzvah. So he's equal with the Father. That's a claim for the deity of Jesus. So John claimed the deity of Jesus. And it's also where Jesus had seen his earliest disciples, Andrew and John. John the Baptist claims about Jesus, so that they stopped following John and began to follow after Jesus as his disciples in John 1:35-40. What John the Apostle did and Andrew did at this point was exactly what everybody in Israel was supposed to do. They were supposed to be following John, and when John pointed Jesus out, they were supposed to shift from following John to following Jesus. John himself said that he must increase, but I must decrease. And John the Apostle was one of the earliest ones to make that shift. And it's interesting, John also outlived all the other apostles. So he went through the whole timeline of the earthly ministry of Jesus, which is interesting. Well, while Jesus stayed there in Perea, in the place of edifying memories of the ministry, he enjoyed a renewed thrust of edifying results in his ministry efforts. Many people from the region of Perea came out to see Jesus and to hear him preach and teach, and he performed many healing miracles for the diseased and the infirmed. Since these people had witnessed John's ministry, they compared the ministry of John with Christ's works. And they noted that John had not performed any miracle like Jesus, but that all that John said about Jesus was true. So they believed John's claims that Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, that he was the Son of God, the beloved Son of the Father, in whom the Father is well pleased. So consequently, many people of the largely Gentile province of Perea, many Hebrews as well as Gentiles, believed on Jesus there. So this was kind of like a last-ditch effort to minister, and it was designed primarily to help the disciples, because Jesus had been rejected in major areas within Judea, but he went ahead and he kept working, and that's an example for the disciples, because the disciples were going to face opposition in their ministries for Christ later on. But Jesus is example. That doesn't mean you just quit. You go where there's an open door. If there's an open door somewhere, you go. Dr. Pentecost added, while he was in Perea, Jesus would carry on a public ministry, largely designed to prepare the disciples for the ministry that would be entrusted to them following his death and resurrection. The incidents that took place were illustrative of truths concerning their ministry. With Galilee hostile to Jesus, Judea and Jerusalem attempting to stone him, there was no expectation that he would be publicly acclaimed as Messiah, so that he would begin his reign. Christ continued a ministry, not in hopes of reversing the trend, but rather to teach his disciples concerning their ministry in his behalf. And Jesus knew after he died and he went to heaven, the disciples would be carrying on his work. They'd be taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he's also here exampling for us, not only just the immediate disciples, but we're disciples of the Lord Jesus. He's discipling for us, that if we run into trouble or run into opposition or run into closed doors, look somewhere else. Go where there's an opening and minister. So when facing closed doors to his ministry in much of Israel, only to find an open door in Perea with its edifying past memories, Jesus left Judea for Perea to work there. This was an example to Christ's disciples that if they faced closed doors in their future ministries for him, they should look for open doors for serving him. So if we face an edifying closed doors of ministry and even multiple realms of Christian service, may we heed Jesus' example to look for the edifying open doors still available to us and fervently serve him there. I got an illustration for you. The Taribs were involved in coffee hour today. And Thea Tarib has had a tremendous burden to be able to produce something, cook something that I can eat. I have a special diet. No, it's a rough diet. So I told her I can do a quiche, and we told her the things that were in the quiche. And so she had prepared a special quiche for me, and this one had turkey meat in it, broccoli and something else, and then it had potatoes. She didn't know that I'm not supposed to be into starch. So she found out about that. She was sick about it. She was so upset. She came to me, really bothered by it. She says, I'm really upset. I just didn't know that. I said, look, I'm going to take a chance with the folks tonight. I may be having a runny nose when I preach, but if I do, I'm just going to tell the dear people, you have to suck it up. But so what I did, they had one there with a quiche with bacon and eggs in it. So I took that. I said, I'll take that. So she cut me a whole quarter pie. And I thought, oh boy, now I am going to get it tonight. But I went ahead and ate that on top of everything else. Well, God's been gracious. My nose hasn't run. and everything. So I'm going to write a thank you note to Thea and say, and give a report. And she said, well, I'll take the heat tonight. And I said, don't worry about it. She's not going to take the heat. But she had worked so hard. She had planned for weeks on this. And it just hadn't worked out. So I didn't want to let the lady down. And so I was encouraged by the fact that she was looking for an open door. But the next time, she's going to make a perfect quiche. But, you know, this is her ministry. She says, I'm into food. But this is my ministry. And since it's my ministry, I want to make sure if you're the pastor of the church, I've got to be able to prepare something for you. I said, okay. And then I'll eat it. And it was good. It tasted very good today. But she said, I'll make it without crust because I understand you're not supposed to do crust. I said, yeah. But I ate the crust today anyway. It was good. But I was thankful for the fact that she was trying to do the thing that was right. She was looking for an open door. Many years ago, Dwight L. Moody was involved. And he'd built a church in Chicago. And he'd worked with a young men's Christian organization. That's when it was a real Christian organization. And he'd worked hard, fundraising everything, and then there was the great Chicago fire that burned it all down. And he was very discouraged, didn't know what to do. Well, an opening came for him to preach, I think it was in England. So that was the opening for him. And then he discovered the Lord didn't want him getting involved in all these other things. He had a gift for preaching. So he held out religious crusades. And he led many people to Christ with his crusades in England. Then he came back to the United States. He led many people to Christ in New York City, the big old hippodrome that he preached in. And the amazing thing is, he slaughtered the King's English. You know, he came from the streets of Boston or whatnot, or Northfield, Massachusetts, but he was never properly schooled. But the man's ministry was so powerful, even newspaper editors in New York would sit under his preaching, and they're very moved by what he had to say. And he led many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he got to the point where he said, this one thing I do, like the Apostle Paul did. He learned that the Lord wanted him to trim all that other stuff out and just work on preaching. And the Lord raised up people. One man, he raised up, I think it was Lozo Brothers, who produced a Christian publication for books. He was a publisher, but he started publishing Moody sermons. Moody Bible Institute was started. Moody really didn't get involved in that, but there were other people, Dr. Gray and other people, that actually built up Moody Bible Institute. So the Lord raised up other people to do these other things, but Moody had to preach. So it's really good. Look for the open door. Moody found that open door, and he went with it. And if we go with the open door, then God will bless us.